back to Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking. Do you understand?
I do. I really do.
Level of concern. We have not done this in a while. We haven't played role play. We haven't heard from Nick Cage in a while. And Nick Cage is a guy that trends every once in a while. Like, month and a half, something happens with him.
He had himself a time. Didn't he get kicked out of a, thought he got kicked out of a restaurant or a hotel, like, recently.
Yeah,
like a month ago. Yeah.
That was bad.
He was pretty banged up sitting in a chair, I think. And
the security basically said this isn't working for us.
Yeah.
So you have to leave now.
Yeah, you're gonna have to exit stage left. Yes.
Yep. It happens. So role play level of concern, we know the way this works. Three options, right? We're all gonna go around the table, you will be allotted someone, and a scenario will be brought up, and you're either a pint on the patio, no concern, six pack and a shot or two, mediocre concern, or Nick Cage in leaving in Las Vegas, which is just a nuclear amount of concern.
Nuclear.
Oh, you're gonna start. You are playing the role of Netflix. You're playing the role of Netflix, considering the news today that they're gonna do a documentary featuring the PGA Tour. Level of concern that Tiger Woods returning and not being involved in the documentary will take away from the overall product.
Well, obviously, I would be. I'm not gonna. It's weird because not having Tiger is so enormous for this production, but I think the golf nerds like yourself and myself are going to tune into this and want to see everything, so it's not really going to tarnish it that much. Would Tiger Woods take this to a different level? Of course. But I think there's a portion of golf people like ourselves and just golf fans in general that are going to tune into it. I don't think it's going to be a disaster because he's not into it, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
So I'm going to say probably three or four Bud Lights and four shots of chilled Grey Goose.
Okay.
Which is not Nick. Yeah, I'm going to be dialed in.
Well, and he can also factor into it without being directly involved, because I want to hear what the other players have to say about him coming back and if you have access to that. And what if there's a guy who's mic'd up who's involved in this and is partnered with Tiger at Augusta? That'll work for me.
Yeah. Right? Or what about this? You're with Justin Thomas. You're like, you're the producer, whatever. You're like, give Tiger a call. Put him on speaker.
Mm-hmm. He'll be involved indirectly.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that. Noodles, you're playing the role of Brian Burke, the president of hockey operations down in Pittsburgh. Level of concern what Bobby Clark had to say about your boy, Ron Hextall, the GM down in Pittsburgh.
I'm a pine on the patio, and here's why. It's because we have no idea of the context of all of this. All of a sudden, like, where is this coming from? And, like, where was Bobby Clark through all of this? Like, was he on the outside? Was he on the inside? It also just, there's something else that has to be linked to this. Because remember when Robin Leonard called out AV on Twitter? And said that, or you know, that organization did this, and it was all about Nolan Patrick, and it seemed like Patrick, you know, it seemed like Patrick had a beef with the organization, and vice versa. So, this is like a targeted hit. I don't like it, but I'm a pine on the patio if I'm Brian Burke, because I think Ron Hextall's a good hockey man, a smart guy. Has he made mistakes? I'm sure he has, absolutely. But, you know, every manager has made mistakes. And, you know, I like what they're doing in Pittsburgh. They wanted to rebuild. And, you know, and Sid said basically, no, we're going to win 10 in a row right now. So they're a pretty good team. They're rolling right now.
They are. Do you see the stat last night that Letang, Malkin, and Crosby, the longest tenured trio in NHL history?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild.
That is unreal, though. They're still all damn good, too.
Like Letang. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but he's going to make it.
He's got to be pretty damn close, Hayes. Come on.
He might be right there, yeah. I mean,
has he won a Norris? I don't think he has.
No, I don't. I don't have it in front of me, to be honest. But I think he's close. You know, points, cups, you name it. Like, he's kind of always been at the top of his class when he's healthy, though. Here's a guy who had health issues. I believe, I don't want to speak out of turn, did he not have a stroke or
yes, you're
something?
Right.
I think he did have a major health scare.
Something serious.
Not that long ago. Yeah. I remember.
You
I
read
was,
about that, Noodles. Yep.
I interviewed him. I was with the NHL Network, and we were on site for an outdoor game, and he was there, and he wasn't, I don't think he was playing because he'd had a stroke. Like, this is a guy who's gone through a lot. Sid's gone through a lot. Gino's, like, these guys have physically been beat up. I saw that they've been together for 16 years, a total of whatever it is, 1,100, 1,200 games, but the three of them have been in the lineup just under 600 games, all three.
Right.
So there has been health issues that have kept them, you know, from all three being on the same ice, but about half the games.
When they connect, they connect. Although the one playoff run, Letang wasn't a part of it, and they still got it done.
Exactly.
All right, moving on here. Role play level of concern. I am playing the role of Novak Djokovic.
Oh, God.
Level of concern, your VAC status will cost you multiple Grand Slam wins.
Play it. You better play it.
I guess you have to because it's out of your control. Play it, Mullen.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
Now, I'm this close to not going down the Nick Cage road because I know how people will respond. Well, you can control it if you decide to do this. He's dug in, man. Novak Djokovic is not getting vaccinated. I just don't see it happening. It's not in his repertoire. It's not going to happen. The world is changing. Like, it is moving. We are moving in a very different direction. In fact, in somewhat of a rapid pace, consider where we were even 2 or 3 months ago. At some point, COVID will be behind us. I know how difficult it is to believe right now, but he's not 24. He's 34. So is it quick enough to get him back into the swing of things? And the question was not, is it going to cost you one more win to make it the record? It's just multiple slam wins. And I think the answer is yes. I mean, if he doesn't play in Australia this upcoming week or the next 2 or 3 weeks, there's one. Right? If he can't get into Wimbledon, there's two. If he doesn't end up playing in New York at the U.S. Open, there's three.
Yep.
That's multiple right off the bat. And any tournament he's in, he's favored to win. He's expected to win. He didn't win at the U.S. Open the last time out. But I think if he goes back there in September, he'll be expected to win this year. All he does is win down under. It's all he does is win in Australia. And if he were to play there, he'd clearly be the favorite down there. So, yeah, I think it's got to be Nick Cage because he's not going to get vaccinated. And then the power is in the hands of the governing bodies, the politicians, the countries. And at this point, he's probably going to miss out on some.
And what is the ending to, like, is he playing in this Australian Open? Like,
it hasn't been determined because now he issued a statement saying that his visa was, there was some misinformation in there, and I think he blamed his agent for that because of course it's not his fault. His dad's speaking for him. He looks weak, man. Like, your dad's trying to fight people in the streets and stuff, and your brother's speaking on your behalf, and you're dancing around details via Instagram and blaming your agent. You got to own it. You're a big boy. You're 34 years old. Own it. And, you know, he had that photo shoot with a magazine where he knew he was positive for COVID and he still went through with it.
Yeah,
so that's causing some problems, needless to say. It's a mess with Djokovic.
Yeah,
but
it is.
As for the answer as to whether he's playing, I don't think there is one definitive right now. All right, moving on here. Oh, you are playing the role of Mitch Marner. Mitch Marner. Level of concern, your power play stats or lack thereof are going to cost you a spot on the top unit soon.
Oh, not even. What's less than a pint on the patio? One of my near beers. Coors
water.
Edge.
Water.
Drinking water.
Cold water. Yeah. Just a cold water.
Listen.
With lime in it.
I'm Mitchy. My guy, Austin, we do work together on the power play. I'm not going on no second unit. No, thank you. It's not happening, period. And if you think I am, you've got other things coming yourself, Hazy.
You're talking to me or Sheldon Keefe? When did you become the coach?
Yeah.
Who makes that goal?
By the way, you're neither. You're Dave, okay? You are Dave.
Yeah, I am Dave. I like
but
Dave.
But I just don't see it happening. He's one of those guys which it doesn't really set the standard for all the other things that go along with NHL hockey, where it's like if you're not producing, you don't really get the opportunity. Because we're talking 100. Well, I think it's 100 games this guy hasn't scored a power play goal. That is outrageous. I'm a tub of garbage. I could go out there and rip one home from the slot. I know I can. At 45 years old, I could do it. Mm-hmm. Okay. 100 games?
That's a long
yeah,
time.
But he's a passer. His role, like, he's not like
Noodles,
he's the trigger
man. Give me a
man.
Break. He makes $11 million bucks a year.
I understand that, but
I'm not ripping on Mitch, but he's got to play. He's got to just
he
be
knows
better,
it,
play better.
Yeah, Mitch Marner will be the first one to tell you that he can't believe he hasn't scored that long on the power
yeah,
play.
Yeah, is it 100 though? Like, is it legitimately 100, or is it
90 plus?
Remember.
It's been it was before yeah. COVID, is my understanding. Before
yeah.
COVID,
I mean, you know, how many primary assists did he have on that power play? Like, that's the thing. He has to know his role too. Like, they did put him in the bumper position.
I know,
for
Noodles.
A bit,
we're not talking about primary assists. We're talking about actually score. He hasn't scored a goal in 100 games. It's a long. Yeah. It's a long time.
No, yeah. I get that. I get that. I just I agree. I'm water. I'm water with lemon on it. He's a guy who
I'd be a pint on the patio at a minimum, but okay.
Yeah.
I think Kasha is playing well. Like, he's not going to pass Mitch Marner, but he looks comfortable in that role. Like, I like his game. I like Bunting's game last night. Like, I thought the secondary guys factored in more than even the big boys.
Joe from the Bridge, February 2020 is the last time he scored a power play goal.
Pre-COVID.
We're creeping up on a calendar year.
Been a long time. All right, Noodles, you are back-to-back cup champions. So
right.
We've seen that multiple times, you know, in the last 30 years. Not a lot, but multiple times. Level of concern, the Tampa Bay Lightning will win their third straight cup and leave your club. No longer be considered back-to-back, but go back-to-back-to-back. Ooh. Level of concern.
I'm a 12-pack, right in the middle. I'm not Nick Cage. But I think Tampa's a really good team. And then reading what Julien Brisebois had to say, I think, to Pierre LeBrun, saying, like, we are, you know, because of the cap, we are going to be active, but at the deadline. So he's probably got his eye on one or two players at the deadline. Mm-hmm. I thought I read this morning they were out on Evander Kane. But it's just, you know, that type of stuff. I think they're still going to be looking to add. And they're a very deep team. You just got Kucherov back. The guy gets a hat trick for fun.
It's
just
crazy.
Like it's they're that good. I think there's a chance they could go back to back to back, but I'm a 12 pack. That's what I am. I'm right in the middle.
I think that's reasonable. We haven't seen that three in a row since the Islanders in the early 80s.
Right.
It's been that long. And that's when the Habs went four straight, and then the Islanders went four straight, and then the Oilers won four or five. But we haven't seen three in a row in a long, long time. In the cap era, that'd be just a remarkable feat.
Yeah, it would be.
Even look at Corey Perry. Like, he's dancing.
He's got right 10 now. Goals.
Like, yeah, like Corey Perry, who's still – he's a great player, clearly, great career. But he's on the minimum deal, just tooting around down there and chipping in.
Buddy, Mitch Melnyk plucked that – transaction as soon as it happened. They were shaking hands, and Mitch Melnyk tweeted out from Montreal. He said, John Cooper just asked Corey Perry if he wanted to play here next year in the handshake line. Sure as hell, Corey Perry ends up in Tampa Bay. I think about stuff like that.
That's a good pull.
Yeah.
Smart transaction. Well, and they gave, you know what they did is they gave him a second year. Like, that's what it was, is Perry wanted a little bit more stability. Most teams are looking at 1 year. Tampa goes, yeah, we'll give you 2 years at the
Tampa
min.
Or Florida is the perfect situation to ride off into the sunset and say, give me the last couple of years. I'm going to establish myself in the Tampa area, and I ain't ever leaving. I'm going to retire here. Well, I'll stay. I'll help you. I can run practices for Black Aces. Do whatever. I can do. I can live down here when I'm done.
Oh, it was great when I played there. Now these teams are really good. Like, both of them. Like, the Panthers are really good, and we know what Tampa is.
Jumbo's down there. Perry's down there. It's just, head on down for a good time. And you play a little
and win.
And possibly have a really good chance of winning.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right.